this synthetic biology is hijacking our life force to grow. And we have done studies on the blood. There are estimated ranges of what the conductivity is supposed to be. It's between 10 and 20 millisiemens, and we just averaged it out to 15 millisiemens. And there were some unvaccinated blood samples that were clumping like this with this low formation that many people are familiar with. And their electrical conductivity was 4.7 millisiemens. I mean, this is devastating numbers.
Hey guys, Sean from SGT Report here. That was Dr. Anna Mihalcha. And I have to tell you, this is a very disturbing conversation, and it's not one for the faint of heart. In fact, I think this is really a conversation that is best suited for deep researchers. Dr. Anna believes that unvaxxed folks now are presented with the same risks as the vaccinated folks. Now, without discounting one thing she shares with us in this interview, I would say others in the space do disagree with her, and one major caveat can be noted, and it's this. Injecting the bioweapon through a needle into your body and bypassing all of God's systems in your own immune system, well, that's a lot different than breathing it, drinking it, or eating it. Just one more word of caution. About two-thirds the way through this interview, we share some photos and video that is extremely disturbing to those who are squeamish. So just a note of caution, and before we start, just a quick word about our sponsor. Guys, did you know that 99.5% of financial assets are not invested in precious metals? That's 99.5% of the assets in the world, not in the space of gold and silver. Meanwhile, the US dollar has lost 85% of its value since the 1970s when the dollar decoupled from gold, and the government seems hell-bent on continuing the tradition. So from now until after the next election, the government can print as much money as they want. The last time they did so, inflation went up 9%. Gold is the one asset that has been proven to withstand inflation. Of course, always do your own due diligence. There's always a risk of investment, and there's no guarantee of any kind. Invest in gold with Noble Gold Investments. If you do so this month, you'll also get a 24-karat, 1/4-ounce gold standard coin for free. Go to noblegoldinvestments.com, that's noblegoldinvestments.com, or just dial 1-877-646-5347. It's the gold company I trust. Hey friends, Sean from SGT Report here. Thank you so very much for tuning in. I hope God's blessings are filling your heart today and things are going well for you and your family, because as we're going to document in this interview, the war on humanity continues to only ramp up. I'm really happy to welcome to the show Dr. Anna Mihalcha. She's a board-certified internal medicine doctor with a PhD in pathology. She's also an author, the name of the book, Light Medicine. You can find her over on Substack and her Rumble channel, Humanity United Now. I have so much to talk about today, guys. I want to share a soundbite with you from Jimmy Dore. But first, let me welcome our guest. Anna, how are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you so much for having me, Sean.
Well, you've got a great smile, and I know you're filled with energy. You've got so much to share today about self-assembly hydrogel, dark field microscopy. Am I saying that right? So much to talk about today. And by the way, I just want to mention, guys, that Anna's work was referenced by Hope and Tavon on our last show. So we have so much to share today. Anna, if you don't mind, let me just start with a screen share. Are you familiar with Jimmy Dore, the comedian?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, let me do a screen share here, and I'll play just a few minutes of Jimmy Dore talking about a new Lancet study, which was mysteriously and suddenly pulled. Get this, guys.
So get this. There was a study published in The Lancet, which is supposed to be a very prestigious medical journal. So they published the study, and then they withdrew it within 24 hours. And the headline here says, Lancet study on COVID vaccine autopsies finds 74% were caused by vaccine. Study is removed within 24 hours.
Well, thank God they took that misinformation down.
It's misinformation, Kurt. You know that.
Lancet? Who are they even?
a Lancet review of 325 autopsies after COVID vaccination found that 74% of the deaths were caused by the vaccine, but the study was removed within 24 hours. The paper, a preprint that was awaiting peer review, is written by leading cardiologist, friend of the show, Dr. Peter McCullough. We should have had him on to talk about this. Shit. Yale epidemiologist Dr. Harvey Risch and their colleagues at the Wellness Company, and was published online Wednesday on the preprint site of the prestigious medical journal. However, less than 24 hours later, the study was removed, and a note appeared stating, "This preprint has been removed by preprints with The Lancet because the study's conclusions are not supported by the study methodology." The original study abstract can be found in the Internet Archive. It reads, "Background: the rapid development and widespread deployment of COVID-19 vaccines combined with a high number of adverse event reports have led to concerns over possible mechanisms of injury, including systemic lipid nanoparticle, LNP, and mRNA distribution, spike protein-associated tissue damage, thrombogenicity, immune system dysfunction, and carcinogenicity. The aim of the systemic review is to investigate possible causal links between the COVID-19 vaccine administration and death using autopsies and post-mortem analyses."
Well, there's your problem. You're not supposed to do that.
You're not supposed to do that. All right, you guys get the idea. If I remember, I will leave that linked below. I posted that over on my site, thephaser.com. Anna, get this, the findings. You ready for the findings? "The most implicated organ system in COVID-19 vaccine-associated death was the cardiovascular system, with 53% of the deaths being attributed to that." And they pulled the study, Anna. They pulled the study.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that in my presentation today, you will see why there are so many cardiovascular deaths, because we've done some very extraordinary research that many people don't want to talk about, but that is pretty stunning.
Now, before we turn it over to you to drive, you have full screen share capability here. So I just want to sit back and listen, and you can drive the show here because you're the expert. But are you shocked at this point that the mainstream horror mockingbird media continues to gaslight that these quote unquote vaccines and they're not vaccines are safe and effective? They continue to push that narrative, despite the fact that guys like Jimmy Dore, who's intellectually honest, he happens to be a Democrat, but he calls out Joe Biden for his crimes. He calls out Hunter Biden for his crimes. He calls out the deep state, and he calls out Big Pharma for their crimes against humanity. Are you shocked that a guy like Jimmy Dore, with more than a million subscribers on YouTube, is telling the truth that we cannot get from CNN, MSNBC, or Fox News at this point?
I am actually exceedingly pleased that that is happening, because we are definitely running out of time and people need to wake up from this delusional mockingbird media that is just lying every day. And I think that if we are to survive as a species, we need to really listen to people who are telling the truth and stand up ourselves and live the truth.
Before you start with your presentation, can you just tell me what you think this thing is? I call it a bioweapon masquerading as a vaccine. People like Dr. Michael Yeadon from Pfizer, a former vice president, he calls it a bioweapon. Peter McCullough, I think he's called it a bioweapon. In your view, what is this thing that they call a vaccine, a COVID-19 vaccine?
So it is a bioweapon. And as I will show, you know, I was part of a team who actually looked at the vials, which a lot of people haven't done. So there's a lot of speculation. And I think that really understanding, well, what type of a weapon it is, because I think that it's a multifactorial weapon and it clearly contains nanotechnology, synthetic biology. It's a weapon of mass destruction, really. And I hope to be able to show that today in regards to the evidence to how the human blood has changed since this rollout, and what we're really up against, and why it's important to figure out what are the specifics of this weapon and its multiple actions. So there's never just one answer. It's many different answers. And I think it's important to really drive down and find out what the answers are.
All righty. Well, we'll turn it over to you. One last question before you begin your presentation. What is that an image of behind you? I'm sure we'll learn about it as we go through your presentation, but what is that thing behind you?
So this is this self-assembly hydrogel. You can see it's blue, and in the body, there shouldn't be anything that's ultraviolet blue. But this is the stuff that's called hydrogel that is self-assembling and creating these filamental structures. And this is part of what was found to grow from the lipid nanoparticle technology in the vials. And I will explain more about this.
All right. Well, we're very eager to hear your presentation. And I want the audience to share this far and wide, guys, because again, the enemies of humanity, it does shock me. Does it shock you that Albert Bourla, the CEO of Pfizer, continues to walk a free man when, in my view, he is very much guilty of premeditated mass murder, or at least conspiracy to commit murder?
Listen, Sean, what shocks me is that there hasn't been any justice, that these bioweapons are still allowed to be distributed. What shocks me is that the medical associations aren't being held accountable. The doctors who pushed this stuff, the Federation of State Medical Boards that intimidated doctors to violate the rules of informed consent and the Hippocratic Oath. It shocks me that our government is still functioning who pushed this stuff. The Department of Defense who's endeavoring to literally be part of a mass genocide. It all shocks me, and I find it is time that something needs to be done and something needs to happen. And really, the truth needs to come out and the actionable consequences from this. We know our legal system is corrupt. Big Pharma is corrupt. They're all in on it. And it's time to do something if we are as a species to survive. And I will show in the blood that, things are looking pretty dire.
Are things looking pretty dire for just the vaccinated, or is the story even worse? Is there potential for unvaccinated people to also be contaminated by this?
The story is worse. Everyone has this now in their blood. This was a self-spreading nanotechnological weapon. And what is important is that the transhumanist agenda that really was to create automatons, people devoid of a soul and a spirit, like Yuval Harari has said, that has already happened. And it is part of a transhumanist agenda that's been going on for decades now. We are geoengineering, spraying the same synthetic biology on us that we've been inhaling. According to Dan Wigginton, we're inhaling 20 million nanoparticles per breath, and that we are at a saturation point of our entire biosphere that is being transformed, where the transhumanist wants to digitize every microbe, every cell that is basically on this planet. And in terms of humans, we now have quantum dot nanotechnology in us. And anybody who is saying, it's about mRNA and that there was reverse transcription, we didn't find mRNA in the vials. There was no element of life like phosphorus and nitrogen. And even the European Medicine Agency has clearly said that there were fragments of RNA, but not the whole thing. And Sasha Latipova discussed that the mass production of mRNA at that scale would have never created a viable mRNA chain. So what was in the vials? Well, it was this nanotechnology, and this has now spread to everyone, and it's accelerating at a substantial rate. And I can back up everything that I'm saying, and I will show the research of Clifford Connicum and I that even looked at the clots that showed a rubbery material, and people can see for themselves. And the other thing that I want to talk about is that our government does not hide this. Look at the presidential budget for 2023 for nanotechnology. It clearly talks about augmentations of and super soldier development using brain interfaces to the computer and literally creating nanotechnology in agriculture, in all industries. This is all agencies are involved in this. And if you look at Obama's Brayman Initiative, they were already working on mind control features of nanotechnological devices, brain implants in 2017 and before. I mean, there is a report by Hildegard Stanninger, who is a toxicologist from 2011, about the analysis of a meningioma that turned out to be a brain chip and nasal implants from people in America as well as Saudi Arabia that had the same technology and the same functional group that I have found with Clifford Connicum in the blood of everyone now.
You mentioned self-spreading, which to me reminds me of the word shedding as it pertains to the bioweapon masquerading as a vaccine. You mentioned Dane Wigington's work, Cliff Carnicom's work, and then I think of geoengineering, Morgellons, things like that. When you say this stuff is now in all of us, let's quantify that. For those of us who didn't take it, how in the world is it in all of us? You said it's in all of us.
Yes, absolutely. So the live blood analysis really shows that these filamental structures, which, by the way, this is what I've quantified to have that COVID was. So I've analyzed the live blood right after they had COVID, and these structures are there. Then with long COVID, these structures are there. With shedding, these structures are there, and now they're in everyone. I was the one who also did analysis of, for example, the meat supply, and I found the same stuff in the meat supply. I've looked at insulin and other medications. It's in there, and it's even on the labels that they have hydrogel components like polyethylene glycol in there. We've analyzed rainwater, as well as there have been atmospheric testing that shows that graphene oxide, as well as these polymers, have been sprayed via geoengineering clandestine operations. And so all of this has led to an assault of humanity, plus the shedding component from the transmission from the vaccinated to the unvaccinated, which was documented in the Pfizer document. In the trial components, it clearly said that a man who came in contact with a test subject who was injected, he himself didn't have an injection, could transmit whatever was injected to another woman who was also not injected. So this stuff is being transferred through our social contacts and interactions. We have found this. I've done analysis on sputum. It is in the sputum. We've done analysis on sweat. It's in the sweat. It's in urine and menstrual fluid. So beyond even intimate contact, even in breath, even in touch, this stuff is being transferred. And there's an electromagnetic component here as well that is very important. And this artificial synthetic biology structure. I have also looked at video footage of embalmed blood, and I will show you all of this. And this will really answer your question in a visual sense. And then we can discuss it a little bit further. But shedding is for real. I was one of the first clinicians who looked at D-dimer elevation as a marker of shedding in the unvaccinated population, and had recorded last year in April and May an exponential increase of elevated abnormal D-dimer, which are basically showing that the blood is clotting in the unvaccinated. And I was already reversing it then with high-dose vitamin C infusions, but then evolved my work to EDTA chelation. And I will discuss that this has been shown to be one of the antidotes of hydrogel via the patents found by Karen Kingston.
Okay. You know, when I had Dr. Jim Thorpe on, he is one of the doctors at the wellness company, like Dr. Peter McCullough. We talked about the spike support formula here. And I guess stupidly in hindsight, I suggested to my audience, you may want to get this product for folks you know who have been vaxxed. Now I'm wondering if maybe that's not a good product for all of us. I mean, you say this is in all of us. I want to know how we can remedy ourselves. How do we fix ourselves?
Well, first of all, you know, Jim Thorpe and Peter McCullough believe that there is a spike protein. But if you look at the NIH website, it clearly shows that they have developed a quantum dot crystal that was mimicking an antibody response as if you had coronavirus, and it was technology, a hydrogel-based technology. This is what Karen Kingston also showed. So this idea that there was a reverse transcription of mRNA, if there wasn't mRNA in the shot, then there was no reverse transcription. It was all technology. And this is what I've been finding by looking at the blood, and literally all of the regimens, the vaccine injury protocols that have been put out there, like the ivermectin and other supplements, they don't clear this synthetic biology. And I have shown in studies that this stuff cannot be degraded once it actually creates the clots. So let me begin with my presentation, and you're at the end, you can asked me whether or not you still have questions relating what is really causing things, because instead of just, you know, conjecturing, we've done the analysis on the blood, on the clot, on the deceased clots, and on embalmed blood, and I have the microscopy to show it all.
All right, take it away.
Okay. Very good. So dark field live blood analysis is a special form of microscopy that uses a dark field condenser. And I have a microscope that is quite extraordinary that has the ability to see at a very, very high magnification. So what I want to show is that first I want to explain hydrogels. So hydrogels are now ubiquitously used, and they are a polymer material. Polymer means something that can grow on its own, and it can be organic, like DNA is a polymer, or inorganic, which could be something like a plastic. And it reacts by cross-linking, and it can create a mesh network. So some of them are biodegradable, others are not. They're almost indestructible. And that's a problem because we found that these hydrogel are creating the clots that we find in the died suddenly victims. So it's used for drug delivery. For example, in Pfizer, the polyethylene glycol lipid nanoparticle technology is a hydrogel that can be used for self-assembly. In Moderna, it was SM-102. The hydrogel can also develop into electronic devices, biosensors, as well as transmitters. So hydrogel has been shown in the literature to create microchips, which is exactly what we found to develop from the vaccine contents. So these polymeric chains interact with the water in the tissue, and they can mimic any organ, any cell, and the extracellular matrix in which the cells are part of. And the specific metals that are being used to augment its function can determine what type of electrical device is being produced. So, for example, graphene can be used to have certain functions. Other metals that have also been found within the vials can be used for different functions or biosensing capabilities. So I wanted to show this because in the literature, it clearly says that protein microchips have been developed. We've been heavily attacked because we have found that these the vials do develop microchips, and people haven't believed this, but I want you to see that the literature clearly shows that this is possible. So 26 teams and more worldwide have investigated the vials, and I was part of such a team. There was RNA sequence from many vials, but it was not conforming to label. And what that means is that it was truncated, there were fragments of it, but it didn't have the entire sequence that was required to produce a spike protein. The other thing was the European Medicine Agency, and later on, it was requested to prove that the mRNA would create a protein that has the same size as the spike protein, which is 180 Daltons. And what happened was there was testing done, and all kinds of proteins were being produced, but none of which was 180 Daltons, which is what the spike protein was. So there was DNA and other protein impurities were found in massive quantities that isn't supposed to be in there. And then many heavy metals and rare metals, and this has been found, by the way, in every vaccine. And the nanopathologist Antonetta Gatti, who also investigated childhood vaccines, has shown that every vaccine given contains undisclosed metals that are toxic to the human body. I'm a certified chelation practitioner, and I detoxify people of these metals, and I'm very aware of their toxicity. So what was found was cesium, which can be a radioactive tracer, barium, cobalt, iron, chromium, titanium, cerium, gadolinium, aluminum, silicon, which is also used for nanotechnological developments of nanorobotic devices, nanowires, and nanohooks, sulfur, tellurium, and antimony. Large structures were found to be self-assembling. Flat square shapes, fibers, ribbons, and self-assembly and movement has been visible. Different forms of graphene were definitely possible, and we now know from the Pfizer documents that graphene oxide was used with gold to actually create the artificial intelligence Spike, which was a nanorobotic device. This right here is the first time I looked with Dr. David Nixon from Australia at the contents of a Pfizer vial. He simply dropped a drop of it under the microscope, and this is what we found. And the reason why this is so important is I want everybody to look at this very active background, the blinking lights, the metallic objects. Some people have said this is Brownian movement, but you can see that objects are being assembled, and you can see clearly this metallic structure that looks very complex that is being built through this self-assembly intelligent movement. And the reason why this is so important is I want everybody to remember these blinking lights, because this is what I find in the blood. And I've also found in the blood of embalmed people. For example, right here, you can see this metallic object. And this background material is what is building the technological devices that are sending our biometric data to the cloud. You can see these bluish blinking lights, which is quantum dot technology. It is well documented in the patents, and I found this and filmed this in blood, and I will show this later in my presentation. But it's important for everyone to really see the incredible motion of this, and how this background movement is working to build this metallic structure. Anybody who says that a vaccine should contain a metallic looking object like this, that's clearly technology, is out of their mind. This should not be in anything called a vaccine. Neither should these metallic looking objects be in there.
You know, I don't want to interrupt you, but I'm going to ask one question, and it ties into things I've discussed with Sasha Latapova and others, Karen Kingston. And it's the idea that this can't happen by accident, number one, and it can't happen from a startup company. It can't happen even from Pfizer acting alone. This is so diabolical and nefarious that it must come from a nation state. It must come. It's a top-down order. It's a directive given to these companies to create this bioweapon. There's no other explanation for it. Do you think that's true? I mean, is this all a result of the DOD ordering this bioweapon?
I think it is. It's a part of a shadow government that is a military-industrial university collaboration, because all of the technology was developed at university like MIT, like Georgetown University. And I think that we need to have a much broader view, because then we get into questions of, well, these filaments and nanostructures have also been sprayed on us for decades. Who's in charge of that? And how come, the development of nanotechnology really has been going on since the 1970s. And I have documents of the Department of Homeland Security and even NASA, if you look at their PowerPoint presentation from 2001, discusses that by 2025, all warfare will happen on a nanoscale. So this is so broad. It's really, really long-term evaluation. If you look at the technocratic goal of creating automatons and complete mind control of human, as well as depopulation, because this is used to kill people. This is a weapon that was inserted into the bodies of people. I think this is really, really broad. I agree with you. So this right here is an important video by my colleague, Dr. David Nixon, and he has the same microscope as I do. And this is clearly robotic. And you see here this quantum dot structure. This is not a sugar or salt crystal. Look at these robotic arms. These blinking lights. This is DARPA hydrogel. Technology. Optical communications.
Anna, have you guys seen consistency from sample to sample and vial to vial? Or is this really random technology and it's luck of the draw to see what you're seeing here? Because now we have this report, this idea that there's basically three different batches, a placebo batch, a harmful batch, and a super harmful deadly batch of these vaccines. It sounds like the whole thing was just an experiment on what they could get away with, number one, and what they could program us with, number two. Not everybody got the most dangerous vials. What's your comment on that?
So what I think is that there are differences of what people are able to tolerate in regards to the toxicity of these components. I believe everybody got technology. I do not believe that there were saline injections at all. The reason why certain things are more toxic than others can depend on, for example, their sensitivities against certain components of the hydrogel, for example, polyamines or benzene toxicity. Certain people have much less tolerance to that, as well as the self-assembly to these clots, which are frequency induced, and I will show those later because we've done experiments and proven that. So I clearly see, and my colleagues who are using dark field microscopy, is that every single human being has this now in their body, and that every vial that we've looked at has this. And like I said, I've just filmed the same stuff in dental anesthetics. I found it in insulin. So clearly, there's a very, very broad use of this technology.
Yeah, lockstep, like a plan. Can you go back to that previous slide? Because it calls to mind Elon Musk just renaming Twitter X. What was that X-shaped thing we were just looking at?
So at the end of the video here, you can see that that there's multiple chip-like structures that have been produced. So let me just show you here, and you can see these filament structures. So these chip crystals are in different stages of development. And we've worked with nanotechnologists and engineers, and they clearly said that this is just electronic devices. You can see these filaments in the blood as well as how they're developing under the microscope. I mean, this looks like a cassette. They are building these filamental structures in between them, and they have blinking lights. So what is important is this filamental structure is what started to show up in people's blood. And a lot of live blood analysis people who've looked at live blood for a long time, they tried to debunk us and were saying, oh, you know, we've seen this for a long time. Yes, because Morgellons or cross-domain bacteria have been sprayed on people for a long time, for over 30 years. And this was appearing in humanity's blood, but now has been really sprayed on everyone. And you can see here that the microchips are developing, and these filaments that can be blue, red, or transparent like this, which are literally carbon nanotubes, self-assembling hydrogel structures, they are part of the optical communication cables between this. I also want to mention that David Nixon did experiments with the slides and, for example, looked at the MAC phenomenon, and one slide was emitting 72 MAC addresses, for example, in his experiments. And we know from Komusav, the group in Ecuador, you know, they've done extensive study on the MAC phenomena, and we absolutely know that this is due to these microchips that are biosensors and transmitters. And so what is important is this is a live blood analysis from someone in my office. They're unvaccinated. So initially, I was still seeing people last year with clean blood. And then come January, everyone who walked in was contaminated. And people are saying, for example, things that, oh, these are just contaminants on the slide, or this isn't real. So I want you to look at this filament. And the way you know that it's in the blood is you can see that white blood cells and red blood cells have been attached, and they're literally dying trying to digest this stuff, and they're unable to. In a live blood analysis, you put the place the drop of blood from the finger on the microscope slides within 30 seconds, and this is immediately visible. This is not a contaminant on the slide. This is really in the human blood. So this is important because La Quinta Columna, who they are calling this stuff graphene oxide. I don't care what you call it. We've analyzed it chemically, and it is hydrogel polymers. It can contain graphene. But the important thing is, I believe we're all talking about the absolute same thing. So they heated up a drop of the Pfizer content, and this filamental network has developed. And this is a highly, highly correlating with Clifford Carnicom's work. This is cross-domain bacterial, what people call Morgellons. This is June of 2014. And he developed this in a culture with an electrical current. And you can see they look similar. So when I started working with Clifford Carnicom, basically the reason why I did was I saw the similarities between this is in my office what I saw in someone's blood. This was Mike Adams' analysis of the deceased Vax clot. And you can see that the internal structure is exactly of what I've also seen. Here you can see a bluish quantum dot. And then Clifford Carnicom had done microscopy on these structures for decades. And I saw that they all look the same. So I investigated what are the correlations between it. I wanted to mention that Mike Adams was one of the was the first one to investigate the deceased blood clot. And he found self-assembling carbon-rich polymers with metals in it. It wasn't blood. And we have confirmed all of that work. This right here is unvaccinated blood. These are experiments with Clifford Carnicom. So what we did, we took a blood sample of someone who was unvaccinated who appeared to have clean blood and used an extremely low level electrical current of 10 milliamps, which is something that you would barely feel as a current if it touches your skin. And in 2 hours, the blood was completely transformed into a network of filaments and unrecognizable. So electricity can be a growth fertilizer, basically, for the cross-domain bacteria, which are synthetic biology. What that means is they have crossbred all three domains of life, which are bacteria, their archaea, and eukaryotes. So these are fungi as well as amoeba-like structures. And they've programmed them to create polymer plastics and rubber like hydrogel. And this is something that Clifford Carnicom has shown in the identification of Morgellons. These synthetic biology fibers do create toxins that are toxic to the human body. They have artificial blood in them, as well as they have significant adverse effect on the electrical conductivity of the blood. So what we have done is we took C19 unvaccinated blood and actually extracted through experimentation, through the application of an electrical current, these cross-domain bacteria are the origin of genesis for these filaments. Then what we did was we did near-infrared spectroscopy analysis, which is something that is basically allowing to chemically assess the functional groups that are involved in this substrate. So you get you measure the light emission and you can correlate that with certain chemical signatures. So we took the isolate from the unvaccinated blood and basically said, okay, what is in here? And this is what we found. This is the chemical analysis. So you see polyamides, and vinyl alcohols are aspects of hydrogels made from plastics. The other thing is for aromatic groups, amide protein groups also create hydrogels. So you can see that we also found silicone. Silicone is an important ingredient of nanowires and nanostructures used for brain chip. This is an absolute match with the analysis of the 2011 brain chip that was found in a meningioma and chemically analyzed by Hildegard Stanninger. We also found many sulfur groups, which indicates that proteins with sulfur bonds are extremely challenging to dissolve. So we literally got the fingerprint chemical signature of this artificial synthetic biology microbe that's creating these filaments. And what I want to explain here, so polymeric alcohols and polyamides, which are these chemical groups that are now found in everyone's blood, polyvinyl alcohol is plastic and it makes hydrogel and it's self-assembling programmable matter. Programmable matter means with resonant frequency, you can make it do anything. And it's self-learning. It's actually, they've created an artificial intelligent brain out of hydrogel and just carbon nanotubes, which is graphene oxide. And they were able to make it through programming of resonant frequency through the Brain Project, where they had mapped the human brain over the last 50 years. And made a humanoid robot. And this was done through professors of MIT. So polyamides are polymers that create, that have a repeating amide protein. And this is naturally occurring, but this technology uses natural biologic molecules or inorganic molecules and creates technology through it by mimicking cellular structures. And so these polyesters are basically used for hydrogels, smart materials, biosensors, and tissue engineering, okay? So these are the scaffolds that are being used to create part cyborgs in this transhumanist agenda.
Friends, thanks so much for tuning in. Just a quick word about our sponsor. There's no guarantee in any investment, so do your own due diligence. But I myself hold gold and silver. The U.S. dollar has lost 85% of its value since the 1970s when Nixon decoupled the dollar from gold, and the government is bent on continuing the tradition. From now until the next elections, the government will simply print as much money as they want. The last time they did so, inflation went up 9%. Gold is the one asset that has proven to withstand this type of inflation. Invest in gold with Noble Gold Investments, and this month you can get a 24-karat, 1/4-ounce gold standard coin for free. Go to noblegoldinvestments.com now. That's noblegoldinvestments.com. It's the gold company I trust.
So these are the scaffolds that are being used to create part cyborgs in this transhumanist agenda. Alkenes and polyenes, which are also things that we found. So alkenes are aspects of this polymer, and polyethylene glycol is a polyene. So polyethylene glycol was in the C19 shots. The other thing that is important is, for example, butanol is an alkene. And I got some Freedom of Information Act paperwork about the Pfizer shots in Australia, and they had a derivative of butyric acid in them. So butanol is a derivative of butyric acid. And the reason why this is important is I wanted to prove the connection between the environmental filaments from geoengineering and the shots. And it turns out that in a 2012 chemical analysis of the environmental filaments, they also found butanol, which is a similar derivative of butyric acid. Both are part of polymers. And so you can see that there definitely is a chemical similarity. And I've shown all of these extensive research on my Substack. So then what we did is this, we kind of reverse engineered our whole reasoning of thinking to show in every which way, proving that the signatures that we're finding are really what is also being found, and it's being is the causative agent of these filaments and clots. So here we took multiple unvaccinated people and then vaccinated people, and we compared them to the signature profile of the cross-domain bacteria near infrared spectroscopy that we had done. So literally we're comparing DNA and we're looking for matches. And what are the matches of vaxxed, unvaxxed blood and the cross-domain bacteria? It's the same thing. Alkenes and polyenes, which is polyethylene glycol, polymeric alcohols, which are like the polyvinyl plastics, polyamides, which are hydrogels, and then methyl groups. This stuff hijacks methyl groups from the blood. The human body needs methyl groups to repair DNA, as well as to make glutathione. So by it stealing it, it is causing injury to the human body. So you can see in this, there was an absolute match on these very specific functional group of hydrogels.
Let me just ask you something, Anna. This is actually a bit of a PhD level review here of the science, and I really do appreciate it. But I like to always come back to sort of the everyman question for the audience. For those who are freaking out a little bit right now after seeing what can be done to healthy blood with just a small introduction of electrocurrent, it can destroy the blood. You're saying this stuff is in everybody. I'm hoping at the end of this presentation, you have some good news for us. I mean, is this a death sentence for everybody? Because, you know, those Deagle.com projections, I'm glad to hear you say no, because Deagle.com projected back in 2016-17 that by 2025, the projected reduction in population for the United States would go from 330 million to 100 million. I mean, I don't know why they put that on their website, but they've got a real close tie to the military, as far as I can tell, Deagle.com. You guys can find that in the Wayback Machine. They've since scrubbed it from the internet. But I'm glad to hear you say this is not a death sentence for everybody, because it sure sounds like it.
So, Sean, first of all, thank you for letting me share this information. And I'm endeavoring to show here a lot of science, because I want people to realize it's like, look, we've done every test on the planet. We have tested ourselves forward, backwards, and it all shows the same stuff. And all of the deniers that are ignoring this, you know, this is why I'm putting this forward, is that, you know, maybe if you're recognizing this is not just me talking some crazy talk, we've done some serious scientific investigations. There are absolute antidotes. And at the end, I will show how I'm able to clean the blood with this EDTA chelation with vitamin C. But we have to address the problem correctly, because all the people who believe in the spike protein say ivermectin will do it, they're not clearing these filaments, and they are not preventing the rubbery clots that we found. So I want to reassure everybody, absolutely do I know of a solution. And this is just to document really what we found, so that all the naysayers also can be convinced. It's like, look, this was serious science that investigated this. So the next thing that we found was we did measurement of electrical conductivity and found that the electrical conductivity, which, imagine our life force is electricity. Imagine somebody hijacks, you know, 20% of your energy or 30%. I mean, that's devastating, because literally, if your batteries of your body are running low, then you're going to have chronic fatigue. You're going to have problems with accelerated aging. I'm an anti-aging specialist. And so what is important is that we need to address this issue, that this synthetic biology is hijacking our life force to grow. And we have done studies on the blood. There are estimated ranges of what the conductivity is supposed to be. It's between 10 and 20 millisiemens, and we just average it out to 15 millisiemens. And there were some unvaccinated blood samples that were clumping like this, with this low formation that many people are familiar with. And their electrical connectivity was 4.7 millisiemens. I mean, this is devastating numbers, and that needs to be reversed, which I have done with the EDT and the vitamin C, and I'm going to be explaining that mechanism. So when you're using electron donors, molecules that give electricity, like vitamin C, like humic and fulvic acid, things like methyl and blue, they're electron donors that can help regenerate this loss, because we need to build people back up. And I believe that this epidemic of people being tired and you know, having brain fog and all kinds of disabilities, not being able to function, is literally because of this phenomenon, and it's related to the blood. The other thing that we found is that this organism oxidizes the iron in the blood. So normal iron in the hemoglobin, it needs to be in a 2+ state to be able to transport oxygen. And we found it oxidizes it to a 3+ state that doesn't transport oxygen. So again, people, you know, their oxygen meter looks like they have good oxygen, but they feel short of breath. They get out of breath walking upstairs. So what you need to do is you need to reverse the oxidation by an antioxidant like vitamin C, and you're changing the ability to transport oxygen again. So absolutely, there are solutions, but we have to talk about the correct problem before we can address the solutions. This is very interesting because a lot of people are concerned about mind control, as well as how this technology is actually interfacing with the brain, because they're uploading our biometric information to the cloud, as well as being able to influence through the technology people. So we didn't find any objective difference between vaccinated and unvaccinated blood. As I shown earlier, everybody started developing these filaments. All of the blood was clumping. But the one difference that we found was that vaccinated blood in electromagnetic observation, this is an impedance spectroscopy. So we used frequencies from 0 to 25,000 hertz and applied it to the blood and just observed what happened. And it turns that at 4 hertz, there was a substantial difference in how the vaccinated blood was extremely sensitive to 4 hertz. Let me explain that. Our Earth's biosphere has a resonance called the Schumann resonance, 7.8 hertz. And nothing natural vibrates below that because it's related to the size of the Earth. So 4 hertz, though, has been documented around the Earth, and it's an artificial synthetic signal that is comes from HARP, High Auroral Research Project, which is used for weather warfare, DNA modification, and mind control. And it turns out that the vaccinated have a very specific sensitivity to 4 hertz electromagnetic radiation.
Well, let me say one thing here, and I know we have about another 30 minutes here. Just real quickly, you mentioned vitamin C, intravenous vitamin C, or just oral vitamin C. Would oral vitamin C help?
So you absolutely want to take oral vitamin C every day, because we have a genetic defect, so we don't make vitamin C. And so you have to take pretty high doses. You know, I recommend, if your gut can tolerate it, up to 10,000 milligrams a day. And then intravenous is definitely another way. Intrathecal, you don't want to do. That means you're injecting into the spinal cord. So this right here is just showing that this is vaccinated blood. And if it just sits for 4 hours, that it develops actually a hydrogel-like rubbery clot. And so we've done experiments with this. You clearly see that the hydrogel develops. And it is absolutely a rubber that cannot be pulled apart. And so this is important, because this test was later than also performed by me. So I got some of these clots and I looked at them under the microscope. And if you see here, this is part of this rubbery clot, and you see these nanotechnology filaments that are within the clot. And the same bluish filaments I've also seen in unvaccinated blood. So you see that there is definitely a correlation. This is very, very important because I looked at embalmed blood of somebody who was dead for more than 8 months. The same filaments were there. And what I filmed here is that self-assembly continues to go on. And what you can see here is that these spheres are, these are made from these hydrogel polymers. And you can see that they're filled with this technological stuff. And they continue to advance and grow, okay? You can see clearly see that even though this is embalmed blood of somebody who died 8 months ago, it continues to grow and create technology. And so this stuff that's in there is actually this quantum dot technology, and it continues to evolve. So you can clearly see this movement. And then in the background here, even though it's dead blood, you can see that these metallic structures that I earlier showed are still in the blood and are like blinking lights and moving. You can see that over here. So this was proof to me that this process continues even after death, which means, which can also explain why people continue to emit the MAC address from their grave. So this is clearly a metallic object here. So the reason why this is important, this is a higher magnification, and you can see the blinking lights within the spheres. This is 100 times objectives, almost 4,000 times magnification, but you can see how it's changing the colors. This is clearly quantum dot technology that continues to persist. And the reason why this is important is this is unvaccinated blood. You can see the same structure that I found. And this structure, I photographed it, how it's building the hydrogel filaments that we see. And then here you can see how, again, these are those structures that are then creating the filaments. And here's the higher magnification. So this substrate is building the filaments, and it continues to create these spherical objects. Here you can see the spherical object is spilling its guts to create the filament. So this is the mechanism of the growth, basically. And then you can see how huge, huge filamental structures are being created in the blood and are creating this clumping formation. And these spheres are not just air bubbles, they're actually the construction site. So this is very important because carbon nanofibers with a bubble nanorod structure in science have been described. And this is how it's growing, and it's literally creating a battery. And I have filmed this in humans. You can see here the same bubble-like structures, exactly as if this was a rod. And this is basically part of the self-assembling mechanism. That is in, this is unvaccinated blood, and you can see multiple quantum dots here that have been used for this. And in regards to the quantum dots, this is another unvaccinated sample. You can see these blinking lights that change color from red to blue to yellow, and they are the artificial intelligence that's in charge of the self-assembly of the filaments. They are also changing the frequency of the blood and causing the clumping, but they're also biosensing devices that send the biometric data to the cloud.
Anna, this is so disturbing. I'm so sorry. This is so disturbing. I find this all to be shockingly bad news. You mentioned that this is the blood of an unvaccinated person. Is that correct?
Absolutely, yes.
How did this technology get into that person's blood?
We're inhaling it. We're inhaling, you know, we're being sprayed with it. We're inhaling 20 million nanoparticles per breath, according to Dan Wigington. It's being shed. It's in the meat supply. I found this stuff in meat. It's in everything. It's in medication. So this is what this assault is about. And this is what I've been warning the world about. It's like, you know, people are just talking about, you know, the spike protein. It's like, you're missing the target. This is really what is the danger for humanity. And this is how it's working. So this right here is a YouTube video that kind of shows polyacrylnitrile nanofiber mesh. So this is literally nanotechnology. Just look at this real quick, and then let me show you what I see in human blood So right here, this is unvaccinated blood, and you can see all of these construction sites that are connected through this fiber mesh, and all of these bubbles are not just bubbles, but they're literally using the blood as a substrate to create, through this quantum dot, the blinking lights, a mesh that is replacing the organs, and it's creating this rubbery clot as we speak. So I've filmed all of this. Here you can see many, this is unvaccinated blood, millions of quantum dots that are using the blood, transforming it via this artificial intelligence. And this is, again, an unvaccinated individual. And I am seeing this in literally everyone. And this is what I'm capturing. And you can see the toxicity to the blood. The blood is literally, you know, no longer functioning. It's not moving. It's toxic. You cannot say this is natural. These are blinking lights, quantum dot technology that I've filmed everywhere. And look at this. You know, nobody should have blue and yellow and red blinking lights in their body. And this is what it is. It's artificial intelligence. So this right here is what happens to the blood. It's the same person. I just left the blood sitting there, and it has destroyed the blood. This is now a fully functional hydrogel clot, like we have found, that rubber material. You can see the blood is dead. This is what's happening in people. And this is how they are literally manifesting these died suddenly clots. And this is what it looks like. And I filmed it, and its mechanism, nobody can say that I made this up. So this is somebody who came in, who has a family member who's vaxxed. And I literally found this immediately within 30 seconds of putting the unvaccinated blood on the slide. This is a sheet of hydrogel that literally, if you look at all of this, is a polymer network that has used the blood as a substrate, and it's literally turning into rubber. It was already rubber by the time I put it on the slide, and you can see the symmetry of this stuff. So this is what the threat is really about, and that surveillance under the skin has already happened. I'm going to skip this just for time, but when I looked at the clots from the vaccinated, you can see this is a sheet of hydrogel, and it has transformed the red blood cells into just this rubber clot. So this is exactly what Clifford Carnicum also confirmed. So this is somebody who's had a blood clot, and it literally is confirming what I'm seeing in the live blood. This is an experiment. So we took three types of clot: deceased clots from Richard Hirschman, a vaccine injured blood clot of somebody, and an unvaccinated blood clot. And it shows all the same thing. It's a rubber-like material that is grown out of these filaments. And that in terms of the NIR spectroscopy, they all have these aromatic amines, polyenes, which are the hydrogel structures. They all have the same chemical signature and the polyvinyl plastic signature. And so these three clots, what we did was we used things to try and dissolve them, so like strong sulfuric acid, sodium hydroxide, which is acetone, alcohol, toluene, stripper, petrol, DEET, fuel injector cleaner. You cannot break this stuff down when it's already formed. You have to eliminate the building blocks so that you can prevent the assembly. But once it's assembled, this is almost indestructible material. Here is the correlation between these filaments. You can see the construction site, the filaments in the blood changes. And then I drew, this is unvaccinated blood and left them overnight. And you see without anything, here's this hydrogel rubbery thing. And I put EDTA and vitamin C in there. I just want to show you what happens. So this is a video film of the clot. Unvaccinated blood looks just like that. And over here, I show how this is complete rubber, okay? And then this is vitamin C, 2,500 milligrams and 30 mL, high dose. and you see no clot. So this is another proof. And then this right here is EDTA, left overnight. No clot.
Anna, this is so disturbing. You know, for the audience who's squeamish, I apologize. I think when I do the introduction to this video, this interview, I will mention that about midway through, if you're squeamish, just beware, because we're going to see some things that none of us really want to see. I just find this all to be so absolutely horrific. Can you speculate for us on what these demon creatures think the plan is for themselves and their families? I mean, if this stuff can just get into everybody now, if they're spraying the air, it's everywhere. What did these demon creatures think was going to happen to them and their families? They must have an antidote.
No, they want to remember Kurzweil and all of them. They want to merge with technology. So it is their plan to become immortalized by basically uploading their consciousness to the cloud. And like these futurist technocrats, what they say is they want to eliminate all biology and make it initially merge with technology, but then to have technology take it completely over. And I want to just show you here, we're almost at the end very quickly. This is something that's basically breaking news. This is insulin that I've filmed, actually, the hydrogel in there. And you can see how the hydrogel in long-acting insulin is literally creating this hydrogel clot through this artificial intelligence. So this is another medication. So I've already shown this. And I'm telling people, do not stop your insulin, but we need to figure out parallel medical systems that are not filled with this stuff. And you can see this is the same technology that was in the vax. This right here is dental anesthetics, and it's building a microchips. As we look at it, you can see that it is literally forming. It's the same a spherical structure that contains this hydrogel. And then what happens is that all of a sudden you'll see how the chips develop. One second here.
What are dental anesthetics? What does that mean?
Dental anesthetics is if you go to the dentist and you you get a shot of Novocaine, you see here the microchip has developed. So this was over a 2-minute span period. You see right here a new microchip developed. So this is self-assembling nanotechnology to a micro scale. And I'm filming this live. This is just a drop of dental anesthetic that was sent to me by a liaison for the International Medical Association of Dentistry and Toxicology. But clearly you can see that a microchip has developed. So here I want to show, and on a positive note, this is this EDTA chelation that can be used as a detoxification. First of all, it pulls the metals out, which are the substrate that the quantum dots use, as well as the hydrogel uses to become biosensors. So in one IV, or for example, with rectal suppositories or liposomal EDTA, you can pull out these metals and they're the building blocks. And just like I shown on the blood, it will not clot because the mechanism is interrupted. You can see him how many of these metals are being pulled out. And this right here is unvaccinated blood. You see, it almost looks dead with this hydrogel-like stuff. The red blood cells look horrific. And right here, this is what happens after you apply EDTA chelation and vitamin C. It's completely normal blood. It's the same person 3 days later. You saw that earlier, the blood looked like, you know, that person was gonna be dead, and now it's completely normal and cleaned up. This is normal blood. All of the red blood cells have been restored electrically. They're transporting oxygen. The filaments are gone. So this is really why this EDTA is so important, and why I show people all this. It's not to scare the holy bejesus out of them, but if you don't know and you're not using the right stuff, then you're not dissolving these hydrogel filaments. And so clearly things like the EDTA, the vitamin C, this is normal blood. This was this previous person who had absolutely contaminated blood. And you see, this is normal blood flow. This is what it should look like. And this is just 3 days later. So I want to leave people with this note of hope that there are antidotes that we need to, all together be putting our minds together to continue to research. Clifford and I are researching on many other things. Vitamin supplementation is very important. Electron donors, antioxidant, EDTA, things like humic and fulvic acid. We found that hydrosol gold is able to dissolve the microchips. So I'm using that in my protocols as well. Nettokinase is important for the little microclotting that develops also from the acidity. So all of these things together are definitely very important. Nitric oxide is being needed by the microbiome to detoxify graphene. So those things are definitely helpful. But you can see the reason why I wanted to present the science of it is so that people cannot negate, like has happened so much. It's just salt and sugar crystals. It's like, no. I mean, look at the amount of evidence, the amount of testing we've done. This is the real assault. And there are solutions that can help people, but only if they acknowledge that it's the nanotechnology and synthetic biology that's really assaulting them.
All right. Final question for you here. I'm not an expert in EDTA chelation. And as it relates to vitamin C, is there a certain type of vitamin C? When I say that, I mean, you just don't run to Walmart and get whatever they've got. Where do you get good, reliable, pure vitamin C? And number two, how do you do the EDTA chelation? Can we all do that on our own or do we need a doctor's help? How does that work?
So the vitamin C really also depends on what you are able to tolerate there. For example, liposomal formulation, if you take it in capsules and you want to get to 10,000 milligrams, you're going to take a lot of capsules. So I like mine in powder form. You want to maybe get a buffered product so that you don't get gut issues. So those kinds of things are definitely something to look at. In regards to the EDTA, it is available over the counter. The EDTA chelation, you have to be certified to do that. And that will be through a doctor or a naturopath. It's used for metal detoxification that can be done intravenously. People can use EDTA themselves. For example, I don't recommend it daily because it can also bind to your minerals. You have to adequately replace minerals. But there are, for example, liposomal formulations or rectal formulations that people can use in smaller amounts, 500 up to maybe 1,000 milligrams maximum. A couple times a week, those in that arena is something that people can do. And if they want to find more information, there's a ton of information also on my Substack. It is good to find a doctor to maybe do live blood analysis. I think that there's some physicians that are certainly waking up. They're trying to look at the synthetic biology part. Most of the medical profession is still in denial, but we're hoping to change that. And then using some of these therapies like the vitamin C, any functional doctor can do that. And so there are definitely solutions, but people orally can supplement with these things as well. Again, humic and fulvic acid is very important. Nettokinase I also use for the microclotting, making sure that nutritionally people have optimal support with vitamin D and other full nutrients. Dimethylglycine as a methyl donor to help repair the DNA. B vitamins and B complex also help this methylation pathway process. So those are just some suggestions. And again, on my website, you will find many documentations as well as sort of lectures about also the treatments and the appropriate scientific documentation for this.
All righty. Well, I got to tell you, this has been a disturbing conversation and presentation in my view, just simply because so many of us who haven't taken the bioweapon, well, we had empathy. and sympathy for those who did take it, especially those who are suffering. And now to hear that this stuff is really spreading throughout the entire human population is extremely disconcerting. But that is, of course, to be expected in upside down world. I want to do a screen share as we say our goodbyes here. The Rumble Channel, guys, humanity united now. This is Ennis Channel over on Rumble. Lots of great research you can dig into here. And tell us how people find the Substack as well.
The Substack is Anna Mihalcha, MDPhD.substack.com. This is really where I post all of my research.
All right. If you'd send me the link to the Substack so I get it right, I'll be sure to put that in the link below. Anna, I can't thank you enough for your time today. Despite the news being bad, we've got to face it head on. Okay. We are not sheeple people. We do not put our heads in the ground like an ostrich. We deal with facts, and sometimes the facts are horrifying, especially as it relates to a democide and a genocide. Democide being government really dictating what's going on here, and it's absolutely horrifying. Thank you so much for your time today. We appreciate you.
Thank you so much, and have hope because there are solutions. Thank you.
Thank you. God bless you. God bless the truth tellers, friends. As you know, we got our backs up against the wall, and the news doesn't seem to be getting any better. Friends, I'll remind you every single day for free, you can join us for free at sgtreport.com. That's the antidote to corporate propaganda. You're not going to find this kind of information on CNN. You're certainly not going to find it at the New York Times or the Washington Post or MSNBC, where Mika Brzezinski says there is no such thing as child sex trafficking. You can't make this stuff up. We live in upside down world, so let truth be our mighty sword that we will wield with God on our side, friends. And we'll see you over at sgtreport.com. That's the antidote to corporate propaganda 24/7. God bless you and yours. Bye-bye.
That shows you that that's the price to buy them, right? There is a price, and they sold their souls. That's what that is. They sold their souls to Lucifer himself, because that's what Pfizer is, right? That represents the devil, effectively.
Well, that goes back to your point at the beginning, Todd, when you said, they don't have a soul.
No,
they don't. How could you not speak truth when something like that happens to your own son? I will never understand that.